nothing mankind has done that brought my mountain down. Tomorrow they'll take it away by train that brought my mountain down. I ran in her woods that brought my mountain down. And my sweetheart and I kissed at her peak that brought my mountain down. Her blood is black and her tumbling stream they brought my mountain down. They burned her heart to drive their steam they brought my mountain down. What a thing mankind has done. It brought my mountain down. Tomorrow they'll take it away by train. It brought my mountain down.
You're able to hear my voice right now because of electricity. Electricity that powered my computer and the voice recorder. As you hear this, electricity powers the computer in our studio that operates our radio programming. Most of that electricity comes from burning coal, especially in this part of the country. Some of that coal comes from a mining practice that leads to people in Appalachia breathing silica dust into their lungs and ingesting selenium and arsenic as they drink the water in their communities. It is my hope that this program is at least a small part of more people getting involved with finding better ways to get our electricity. Welcome to the February 12, 2010 edition of Conscious Voices. I am Tom Over, your host for this program. This program has been made possible with funding help from the Puffin Foundation and from you, our listener. To comment on this show, go to wcrsfm.org or columbusfreepressforum.org. If you search the internet for information about mountaintop removal mining, you'll find that people too numerous to count have during the past few years sat in jail cells, chained themselves to mining machinery, staged tree sits, marched, rallied, and otherwise have worked to put an end to this form of strip mining that is not only contaminating the air, land, and water in Appalachia, but also deforming its landscapes. I spoke with activist Judy Bonds about these issues. The following information about her comes primarily from the website of Coal River Mountain Watch, the organization Bonds co-directs. Judy Bonds is a coal miner's daughter and granddaughter. She is an Appalachian American, and her family has lived in the Coal River Valley in West Virginia for 10 generations. Judy Bonds has been fighting for social and environmental justice for Appalachian coal fields since 1998. In 2003, she won the Goldman Environmental Prize. The prize is awarded to one person from each continent, and she was the North American winner. She has been featured in National Geographic, Vanity Fair, O, the magazine by Oprah Winfrey, and other publications and news outlets. The O magazine issue focused on tough West Virginian women. And now a note about how I put together this interview. During the most recent tree sit protest that took place in West Virginia in order to temporarily interrupt mountaintop removal mining operations on Coal River Mountain, several people on the website columbusunderground.com commented on this issue. Throughout most of this interview with Judy Bonds, I take the comments made by some people on columbusunderground.com and present them to her for her response. Here is the first comment from a person on columbusunderground.com. Quote, people are hurting, and the last thing they want to see is their electricity bills skyrocket. So, yeah, part of the reason why you don't see droves of people coming out in support of the protesters. End of quote. Judy Bonds responded by saying the cost of coal is going to go up no matter what, and that people who are concerned about the cost of their electricity should support renewable energy. She also said that the amount of money people pay on their utility bills is not a good measure for the total cost of coal. She said coal is actually not cheap if we take into account its negative effects upon the environment and public health.
New recent studies have indicated the fact that due to externalized costs, that taxpayers are paying four times more than what the coal industry is giving them in return. And actually, a MACED study has proven the fact that taxpayers pay four times more than what the coal industry gives. So the industry is collecting four times more in tax dollars than what the what good that taxpayers are getting from the coal industry. So they are failing to look at all the cost, the true cost.
Another comment that someone posted on columbusunderground.com in response to my Columbus Free Press article about the most recent tree sit protest in West Virginia is as follows. Quote, the kind of coal you get from mountaintop removal mining is low sulfur and otherwise cleaner burning than most coal mined traditionally. You cannot obtain the same kind of coal through tunnel mining. The cleanest coal was typically found just below the surface. End of quote. Judy Bonds responded by saying that the views on that are mixed.
We have studies that prove that some of that's true and some of it's not true. But regardless of whether it's true or not, the fact of the matter is all of this coal burn creates CO2, and there has to be new technology to capture the CO2. So that is really a moot point at right now.
Judy Bond said that in addition to the problem with carbon dioxide emissions is the problem of what is happening to people who live near the surface mines.
There are people that's being blasted and poisoned and whose homes are being destroyed and whose lives are being destroyed because of this type of mining. And the fact of the matter is it's not okay to blast and poison people for this small amount of coal that we can only mine for the next 15 years. We can put scrubbers on these power plants. You know, the cost to the society of mining that coal in the way they want to mine that coal is far too high.
Another comment I got from the Columbus Underground Community Forum after I posted a Columbus Free Press article about the mountaintop removal mining tree sit protest is as follows. Quote, you can't just diversify a region's economy and energy portfolio by pointing and clicking. This isn't Sim City. For the moment, maybe at least a substantial portion of the region's economy actually does depend on blowing up the tops of mountains. End of quote. Judy Bond said she agreed that changing the economy of Appalachia won't be easy. But she said that doesn't mean it can't be done. She said it must be done not only to stop the poisoning of people living in the coal fields, but to also address the region's and the nation's need for a clean, sustainable supply of energy.
We only have 10, 15, 20 years of surface mining coal left. There's a better way of doing this. I think we can pay these men not to mine this coal in this manner and put them to work in underground mining.
Here is another reason Bonds gave for why Appalachia must diversify its economy.
You create a mono economy the way the coal industry has been allowed to create a mono economy in southern West Virginia. Then you have people who choose between blasting and poisoning their neighbors and their own children or making a living. And a man shouldn't have to make that choice. But indeed, that's what's happening in West Virginia.
Activists against mountaintop removal mining have created the Coal River Mountain Wind Project. A couple of months ago, Massey Energy, a major player in surface mining in the region, began blasting on Coal River Mountain, putting into jeopardy the wind project. A commenter on Columbus Underground responded to activists' claim that the wind project would replace surface mining jobs. She said, quote, "At the very least, after a few minutes Googling the Coal River Mountain wind project, I didn't find figures or projections that suggested that wind farms would be sufficient to replace the gross regional product represented by the coal industry, or even just the segment of the coal industry involved in mountaintop removal." Bonds responded by saying that she and other opponents of mountaintop removal never claimed that the wind project would replace all of the surface mining jobs. Instead, they presented it as a part of the solution and as a way to at least get a process started for preparing the region for what is to come. She said she is not being naive about the enormity of the challenge of changing the region's economy and its energy portfolio, but she said it is something that has to be done regardless of how difficult it may be.
The fact of the matter is we are running out of coal, and Central Appalachian coal will decline almost in half in the next 10 years. And the problem is, you know, Americans are complacent, and they are basically not understanding the fact that we are in a corner now, and we have to move now, we have to transition now, or we won't be able to meet these energy demands.
Activists such as Judy Bonds and other opponents of mountaintop removal mining have said that concerns about the jobs that the coal industry creates in Appalachia don't add up, given the fact that the coal mining region has been among the poorest in the nation. A person commenting on Columbus Underground wrote, quote, "That doesn't change the fact that they will be even poorer when the mines shut down," end of quote. Bonds said the mines are going to shut down anyway, whether or not mountaintop removal mining is abolished.
The problem is, what will the coal industry leave for the people of West Virginia to try to rebuild a new economy? Will we leave poisoned water? Yes, that's what they're leaving. So, and landscapes that are scarred and where no one wants to live. So again, this is about being smart. This is about thinking outside the box. This is about thinking into the very near future. So the problem is, are we going to destroy our water and any other type of attractions that would bring other industries to our state to mine the very last little bit of this coal? I think that's a very poor and a very short vision decision to make.
Judy Bonds and other opponents of mountaintop removal mining would like to bring more tourism to the region as one of many ways to diversify its economy. But Bond said tourists typically don't want to go to a place where the streams have signs bearing the skull and crossbones symbol. Stopping mountaintop removal mining in the short term and in the longer term, replacing coal with solar, wind, and other renewable energy is what must be done to prepare for the future of the region, as well as the future of our country, Judy Bond said. According to Bonds, the United States is exporting coal to China that they use to build wind turbines to sell back to our country. Last week, the London Times reported that China has now surpassed both the European Union and the United States in its manufacturing of wind turbines.
We should be making those wind turbines right here in America, right here in West Virginia. We need to come out of the 19th century and quit burning rocks and start using our heads. And the only way that America's economy is ever going to rebound is if we switch to renewable energies.
Here is another comment somebody made on the website ColumbusUnderground.com. Quote, "A wind farm, once up and running, would employ about 10 people. You can't consider it an equal replacement for mountaintop removal mining jobs from a human scale." End of quote. This person who commented on ColumbusUnderground.com also said that, by comparison, mountaintop removal mining employs approximately 10,000 people. Judy Bond said those figures are wrong, both for the number of people employed on a mountaintop removal site and for the number of people a wind farm would employ.
The projections on Coal River Wind was for 50 to 75 permanent workers after 250 construction workers. There are about, I would say, anywhere from 50 to 75 workers on a mountaintop removal site. But the wind farm workers are forever jobs and clean energy forever. That mountaintop removal site is probably a 5 to 7 year work job. Then they'll move on to the next mountain until the last mountain is gone, and those mountains will be gone in 10 to 15 years. So what we're looking at is clean, good jobs that last forever, as opposed to short-term destructive jobs that blast and poison.
Judy Bond said the strip miners will have many years of work trying to fix the destruction that has already taken place from the mountaintop removal mining, using money that comes from the federal Abandoned Mine Lands program.
What we have asked for is out of President Obama is to please release more of the federal abandoned mine lands money so that we can have good paying jobs here. And there are at least 40 to 50 years of work in the abandoned mine lands reclamation and restoring the land that has been destroyed. So we have a lot of jobs to look forward there. There will be more underground mining jobs, and we know this because it came directly out of a coal operator's mouth. Ken Ward was on a conference call with Don Blankenship of Massey Energy, in which his stockholders, it was a stockholders meeting, and media was asked to be on the call. And so the stockholders asked Don Blankenship, well, what about all these the EPA is holding up all these mining permits, the strip mining permits, the surface mining permits. How will that affect us? And Mr. Blankenship said, without a beat, said, we are fine until 2011. We are fine until 2011, he said, and if we can't get our permits then what we will simply do is go to our underground reserves in the northern part of West Virginia and the rest of the southern part of West Virginia and northern Appalachia. So out of the mouth of the co-operators, there, you know, and we already knew this. We already knew there would be a shift back to underground mining here. So basically, you know, he let the cat out of the bag there, and Ken Ward put that up on his blog, as a matter of fact. Coal industry wasn't too happy with it, but, of course, the cat was already out of the bag.
I asked Bonds about the extent to which she thinks there's a connection between Massey Energy's performance in terms of worker health and safety and the ability of workers to unionize on the one hand with, on the other hand, what Massey Energy is doing to the air, land, and water of West Virginia.
Absolutely, there is a connection between Massey's environmental problems and their worker safety problems. Massey cares nothing for their workers. It's just horrendous the way they treat their workers, and that's why they have such a high turnover. People will take a job with Massey, and once they fulfill their requirements and get their training, they would leave Massey and go to another coal mine. And Massey has in to stop this. Massey has they are now using something that we called many years ago a yaller dog contract. And what that means is these men have to sign a contract with Massey when they get the training from Massey. And if they don't stay with Massey for a specific amount of time, and I'm not I can't remember whether it's 3 years or 5 years, then the miner, if he leaves with Massey and goes to another company, he has to pay that money back that they used to train him with. But, yes, the union does, you know, continue to try to fight, you know, for workers' rights and worker safety. I will say that about the union, that they are very concerned about worker safety, and rightfully so when it comes to Massey, because I've talked to some Massey workers off the record and called in some complaints.
Bond said many of the miners fear for their jobs. She said that is what happens when one industry is allowed to dominate southern West Virginia. That fear on the part of workers in the mining industry may at least partly explain, though not excuse, violence and threats of violence activists against mountaintop removal mining have experienced in some mining communities. Judy Bond said she will stand by the workers if they will challenge the politicians and demand that they bring in new jobs to the region.
It's us poor citizens that have to push those politicians. Politicians don't lead. Citizens lead. Citizens have to push politicians to do the right thing. That's always been the case, Tom. Always been the case. And we will definitely stand up with the workers to, if they will, instead of blame the environmentalists, if they will stand up to these politicians like Governor Manchin and Jay Rockefeller and their local legislators and say, look here now, we're running out of coal and we need new jobs down here. We will definitely stand up with them and say, yes, we're standing with them. Because we do need jobs.
Judy Bond said opposing mountaintop removal mining gets to the heart of the issues our nation faces. She said America is at a crossroads, and the right path to go down is one in which we address problems with our infrastructure, such as those related to the condition of the regions and our nation's roads, bridges, and power grids.
I think eventually, if we don't go to individual solar panels and wind turbines and set up community grids, I think we're all going to be in a lot of trouble.
Judy Bonds recommended the End Mountaintop Removal Week in Washington as one of many ways to get involved with this issue. The event is from March 6th through March 10th.
Week in Washington is for Appalachians, people like myself and people that have been affected by coal mining, impacted by strip mining and sludge. They go to Washington, and then there are people from all over America that comes to Washington with them and lobbies with their own representatives. So it's not just Appalachians. It's also people from all over the East Coast, and indeed some people from the Midwest and the West Coast come.
Judy Bonds is optimistic about achieving a ban on mountaintop removal mining and doing it soon.
Hey, look, Tom, the genie is out of the bottle. And they can't put it back in. They just can't. Once it hits pop culture, then there's not a whole lot you can do about it, but discuss it and get the issue out there and find a solution.
Margaret A. Palmer, a professor of entomology and biology at the University of Maryland, led a study that the journal Science published in its January issue. Shortly after that, Margaret Palmer appeared for 15 minutes on the popular Colbert Report. Amidst a barrage of satirical jokes from Stephen Colbert, Margaret Palmer made points with which she called for an end to mountaintop removal mining. Judy Bond said themes in James Cameron's box office smash hit Avatar offers parallels to the themes involved with opposing mountaintop removal mining.
You know, that little gray energy rock that they're destroying the Na'vi for looks a lot like coal. And some of those machines at the very first part of the movie looks a lot like machines they use for mountaintop removal in West Virginia. And then the whole storyline revolves around this energy rock that we're trying to destroy the people's land for. It's the genie's out of the bottle, Tom. It's not, you can't put it back in. So we, you know, the coal industry is going to be forced to basically discuss their shortcomings, their dishonesty, and their safety and health, their dismal safety and health records, both worker and community residents.
Judy Bond said some of her fellow activists against mountaintop removal mining will participate in the U.S. Social Forum, which will be held in Detroit in June.
We was at the last U.S. Social Forum, and that's where we connected with the great citizens in the Little Village in Chicago that have three coal-fired power plants right in their backyards, and their children are getting deathly sick. And we also connected with people that live in Detroit that have coal-fired power plants in their backyard that are getting very, very, very ill, too, as a matter of fact. And, yeah, we will have someone at the U.S. Social Forum to, again, present. So, yeah, we've made a lot of connections. There's a lot of people all over America that is recognizing strip mining and coal and basically where their electricity comes from. Tom, there was a lot of people 10, 11 years ago that had no idea where their electricity came from. They just thought they flipped that light switch on and come out along. But there are people now that realize where it's coming from.
This is Tom Over, and this has been the February 12th, 2010 edition of Conscious Voices, with funding help from the Puffin Foundation. And listeners such as you, you can comment on this program at wcrsfm.org or at columbusfreepressforum.org.